Well, you do want them to remember your name, but not only that, to stand out. And helping us to do that, our job coach, Judy Perkins. FindThePerfectJob.com, and that is what we are hoping that she will do. Give you some tips. I know so many people who walk away after the show, and they let me know that what they heard really helped them. And just one tip maybe they'll walk away with, or two, from our conversation. Judy Perkins, good morning.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are things over in Connecticut?
Things are wonderful over in Connecticut. Spring has sprung and the birds are out and I'm walking barefoot again.
Oh, my goodness. I know. We are having an early, beautiful, picture-perfect week ourselves. So we think it's maybe going to be early summer. I don't know. Who knows? It's the weather. But I'm glad you're having a nice one. I know you're busy on a book, right?
I'm busy on everything.
Everything, every front. Well, that's good. That's good. And helping others to get busy. This series, in case you're just joining us, and it is a series, we do it nearly every week, unless you're gone or I'm gone. And you have been writing, I should mention, too, for the New Haven Connecticut Times for 5 years. PBS's Frontline, you've spoken there. MSN Careers, Yahoo Hot Jobs. And, of course, our morning show here at KVOT and a number of other places where you help people get the job they want, get the job that they have been dreaming about, and tips on how to stand out. Today, that is our topic, separating yourself from the pack. Now, I have to tell you, I recently spoke with a friend out in California, and it happened to be a radio opening, and he said it was unbelievable. They had like 900 applicants for one job.
Wow.
Right. So the vetting process, you can only imagine, and people probably do some things very quickly, like they're going to look for sloppy things that don't work. You haven't been, you know, I don't know what they do, but if you happen to make the short list, lucky on you, not just lucky, you probably worked very hard at separating yourself out. So how about if we start with that in separating yourself out from the pack when you know the competition is going to be stiff?
Well, most of the time you're responding to an ad, so interestingly enough, the clues are right there, and most people miss them because you look at the ad, you say, okay, I'll go with that, and then you're off and running and completely forget about the ad. The key is to make yourself the solution. Look at the ad. What are they looking for? Think, and I talk about this all the time, think of your stories and when you've done that. The ad tells you what their problems are. Figure out in your background when you've solved that problem, and that's what you need to bring to the interview.
You're so that's so true, and it's something I know I learned early on with our conversations, is that most people have a rubber stamp kind of cover letter or maybe their resume that doesn't fit every situation, and maybe somebody has just said, somebody who's a great organizer and can really communicate verbally, and you don't respond to anything that they need. It's like in a relationship where somebody says, honey, I really need you to do the dishes, and your partner says, so I'm off to go to the baseball game, and it's
exactly,
like, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So talk about, really look, you might even, I've done that. It's been like a fun game for me. Look at a job application in the Taos News today, in any of your industries, place where perhaps you do that, and actually look at what they are asking for, right?
Yeah, exactly, because it's all about them, and they want to know that they've been heard.
Yeah.
They want to know, just like when you say, honey, will you do the dishes? They want to know that they've been heard.
Right.
And when you don't hear them and demonstrate that you don't hear them, they think, I don't care about you. And it's in a smaller market, like and fairly isolated one like Taos, it's not that much different. Even in Santa Fe, where, you know, so many of the businesses are small,
mm-hmm.
they'll say, well, you know, even if a small company is advertising and they don't say anything but retail person wanted or whatever, and there's not much to go on, you can still present yourself as a solution. It's a little bit trickier, but it can still be done.
Exactly. And I was also thinking, we're a service industry oriented town, but the other thing not to do, I'm kind of a big proponent of giving a call and asking somebody if you can have, and make it specific, 10 minutes of your time. Be realistic too, like 10 minutes. And what's best for you. But the worst thing, I've seen people show up during like the lunch rush to want to talk to the owner of a restaurant. Nothing will secure, you will never get a job there than that. You got to know the business too, right?
That's very true. You know, I have, I am working on a book. I'm working on a couple of books, actually. And one of the things my business coach taught me, and he teaches how to get media attention, and he said, don't call up the publisher or reporter. Find out when their deadline is and call after the deadline, not a half an hour before it.
Right.
They don't have time for you.
No.
But you want somebody to be receptive to that. And it takes some homework on your part to make that happen.
And if they're saying, and I think you've mentioned that before, we really need somebody who can take our company to the next step in sales, you need to show them that, you know, you've done that. I mean, or if you have, and don't lie, because they will probably ask you how you did it.
It comes back to haunt you.
Yeah, I would think so. So do that. And skills, don't just say, yeah, I'm the best darn writer this side of the Mississippi. You better tell them, you know, why you are, what you've done to prove that.
Right. And some of these are good for people who are mid-level management or upper-level management and work for big companies. But even the people who are, you know, clerical or service-oriented on a smaller level, and by smaller I mean not a big company as opposed to, you know, puny and insignificant, to be able to take inventory of your skills and even ask a business person, what do you need? What do you have need for in your business? Or ascertain, you know, for instance, I mean, make yourself the solution, but you could go to a gardening shop or something and say, you know, I'm really good with kids and I love gardening. Have you thought about teaching classes to people?
Mm-hmm.
And you could even do that on a part-time basis. Present yourself as the solution, whether it's as an employee or whether it's, as we've talked about before, self-employed, language, whatever you're good at. You know, I imagine Taos has a lot of Hispanic businesses, and if you're bilingual, which not everybody is, that's definitely an asset to a retail store who would rather have a bilingual person than somebody who doesn't speak Spanish.
Absolutely. It's a huge plus. And I think you put this down, and I think making a list of your skills is a fantastic start too. What are your skills? And then matching maybe some businesses that could use them, whatever they are. Like you just said, if you make pottery or if you were good with working with kids, or maybe your technical aptitude is very high. Write down what you think all of your skills are. You may not even think, you say, well, I make the best cupcakes in the world, but you don't see that as an asset. Yes, it is. A good cupcake is hard to find.
A bakery may need an extra person who specializes in cupcakes and is amenable to learning other skills within the baking area. And one of the things is there are a lot of people, especially the younger generation, that are becoming very, very technically proficient, and there are a lot of small companies who probably outsource their technical things. Now, I used to work for a company that was only 23 people, and it had an in-house tech person.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need to be a huge company to have an in-house person. If you can present a cost analysis of how you can save them money and be on call versus their outsourced company, that, you know, you're presenting yourself as a solution as to how they can save money and have someone more readily available.
Absolutely. And you might give us a few examples, too, where companies or businesses don't have skills. You have to be the solution.
You have to be the solution. Sometimes it takes creativity. It's not only, like you said, looking at businesses and matching yourself to what they might need. But sometimes it takes a little bit of creativity, because it's not only just who's advertising with a need, it's who may not even know they have a need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And my challenge to you is take the one ads, get a highlighter, and mark what the person in that ad is asking for and address those things. It'll make a huge difference in, I think, your job search. You want more? Well, she has a free newsletter, and you can simply sign up for it at Find the Perfect Job, all spelled out, findtheperfectjob.com. Her name is Judy with an I, Perkins, spelled the regular way, and she also offers, of course, consultations, and she's busier than, she just is. She's not. You need a nap later, but I'm happy for you. Judy, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to give us some really, I think, terrific tips and hints on how to stand out from the pack.
I love doing your show, Nancy. I really do, and I'm glad I'm helping so many people.
You really are, and all around the globe that tune in at 1340kvot.com. So we appreciate your help with us, and we'll talk with you next week.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You have a great one, and... Well, I'll tell you what, we are honored to have her on this show. She is nationally renowned job coach Judy Perkins. FindThePerfectJob.com. Free newsletter. Great tips. I have to tell you, she's one of the best. She will make you shine and sparkle to the very right people. Don't stop looking at the holidays just because you think everybody's in holiday head. It's actually one of the best times, or better times, to still be looking. And there are people trying to start the new year on the right foot with the right people, and you may be it. Judy Perkins, good morning.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm actually doing just very, very well. We've had snow. No, and the skiing is great. The tourists are beginning to funnel in. We like that.
It's so pretty there in the winter. I love all the luminarias and everything. Oh, I miss it.
I bet you do. Well, you know, when you come out here, we got a margarita in your future and a spot for you. So you come visit all the way from Connecticut. She joins us, and we won't say a lot about it, but when that new book comes out, we'll be talking quite a bit about it. Judy Perkins really is advisor to the best and to you, if you like. And if you want to find out more about her and get on her free newsletter, it's findtheperfectjob.com. But she also does personal consultations. And I got to tell you, I thought I knew a lot about, resumes and cover letters, and I have learned so much, and it's like an entirely different lens. So really, don't sit back saying, I know that stuff. I read, what color is your parachute? No, you didn't. It's all a new game, and you want to stay with the person who stays abreast of all this stuff, and that's Judy. So Judy, I love your topic today. Well, it's the truth. I don't do this lightly. But listen, this is a crack of me up because I love it. Do you have a strategy or are you winging it? And I'm cracking up because I have a feeling there's a better way than of those two that you will go with. Most job seekers, you say, are winging it. And why is that a bad idea?
Well, I like to liken it to if you move to a different part of the United States. And here's if people applied their job seeking strategy to where they were moving to, they would put a map on the wall and they'd throw a couple darts and then they'd drive there and they'd end up at a realtor's office and they'd say, we'd like to see some houses. And the realtor would say, do you know what you want? And they'd say, map, just show us some houses. We'll know when we get there.
Any price range? None. Just show us everything.
Yeah. Something kind of like the same price range we were living in. That's good.
Oh, it's cracking me up. Well, it sounds funny, but the truth of the matter is, and we talk with a lot of different advisors, whether it's financial or whether we're talking about a therapy or your personal life. If you don't know what you want, I mean, I have a therapist who comes in every week also, just world-renowned, and he says, he'll ask his clients, the first thing he always asks them is, what do you want? And amazingly, most of them say, I don't know.
Totally. And for those who do, it's easier for them to identify it by what they don't want than by what they do want. And that's moving in the right direction, but not quite where you ultimately want to be.
Exactly what he said. Yes. So, and when we talk about a strategy, there may be some people going, oh, I think I have one of those. If you think you have one, you probably don't.
Mm-hmm.
What is a strategy, and how do you get one?
Well, that's a good question, because it's not something you can buy at a store, so you have to create it yourself. What is a strategy? Well, you hear a lot of marketing experts and business experts and guru this and guru that say begin with the end in mind. And yes, you want to have your end in mind, but you still need to start at the beginning because it's a little harder to work back. So you need to know what you're looking for. What segment, what industry, what function, what does, and some of these things we've covered almost ad nauseum, what does the job look like? What's the management style? What's the chemistry? What's the size of the company? All of those kind of things. And then you need to think, where are those companies? Where are companies like that going to exist? Am I going to move? Are they going to be in my area? Where do they hang out? In other words, can I find them in the library, in a directory? Can I find them in a business journal? Can I find them in a trade magazine maybe that I can Google and get a subscription to? And then you want to think, what kind of people do they hire and how do I get there? Do they have a narrow number of hiring and so I want to find something uncovered, so I'm going to approach them, you know, on a cold basis? Is what I want to do the same thing as I've been doing, in which case a recruiter can help me? Do they advertise mostly on Monster, or are they advertising amongst themselves, perhaps in trade journals or just in niche, you know, et cetera, niche job sites? Do they have networking meetings? Do they have a networking meeting or site where the people who do that kind of thing are online and I can participate in discussions with them? So you need to break it down. People tend to be really too broad. They just sort of launch themselves out of the cannon into the universe and hope they wind up in a tree and not on the ground.
Right. And, good point. And, you know, I think you brought up so many good points here. I want to, if I can for a moment, get back to a recruiter. And I know you've talked about this before, but there may be people, and we have a lot of very interesting people in this community, and we're also online, so we're talking to people from San Diego to New York City. You may be in a specialized field, and it's like dating. I always say that. You got to find the right match. You got to find someone is looking for you, and you are looking for someone. Now, the trick is finding each other. So how do you find recruiters?
You find recruiters by going to recruiterredbook.com.
Oh, so there's a Red Book. Recruiterredbook.com.
Oh,
interesting.
And that's a $60 a year. That's a $60 purchase. But you know, you can. I'm sure you can find one or two other people to split it with. The reason that that's so much more beneficial is because, well, you can find them online. When you can find them online, you have to know what you're searching for. Then it takes time to look at their website. You don't always have the information you want. You can't believe the information that Kennedy Guide provides. Names of the people in the firm, industries they do, positions they do, salaries they handle, phone numbers, titles, address, email. It's sort of like, do I want to go to Orange, Florida and pick an orange, or do I wander around in the middle of America and hope I stumble upon an orange tree?
Yeah. Right. So that's one way to do it. And then, you know, I think about some of the folks here who, knowing your priorities, do you want to work a little and have a lot of time to ski and mess around? Or
right.
do you really want to dig in? I used to have a friend and I feel this way 99% of the time, and he used to say, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I know that sounds unrealistic, but part of it, and I know you've said this before, Judy Perkins, by the way, our job coach, Find the Perfect Job, a lot of it is your attitude. And I've been playing this song lately. It's number one all over the country. It's called Sexy and I Know It. And in my spinning classes, of course, when they put that on, I just totally get into it. And the truth of the matter is, you know, whether you're feeling sexy about yourself or whether you feel like a winner, if you don't believe you are capable and able to do and have a job that you love, you probably won't get it.
That's so, very, very true. And right, thinking about Tao specifically, and that it's mostly like Santa Fe, kind of small and medium businesses. I personally would say one of the greatest ways to probably find a job in smaller communities is just walk right up or phone them or write them a letter directly, because then you can't beat coming from your heart. And the kicker is also saying not why you want it, but why they are going to benefit from having you on staff. If you have never worked retail, if you've been like a mom with kids, but you're suddenly, you know, your kids are now in school, they're in school all day, and you'd like to be more in contact with the public, and you'd love to maybe someday open your own store, go into a store that carry a couple of things you like and say, you know what, I've been at home, I'm great with people, the PTA loves me, I would love to learn what you do and help you out as best I can. How can I be of help to you and learn retail at the same time?
It shows such initiative, and I wish we could go on, but I've got some guests stacking up. But I'll tell you this. This will be on our website, this interview at 1340kvot.com. They're all archived there. You can listen to Judy Perkins. But most importantly, get on her free newsletter. She has a different lens. I'm telling you, every time we speak, I learn something new. Findtheperfectjob.com. That's Judy with an I, Perkins. Judy, I'll be talking to you next week, it looks like. Yes.
Thanks, Nancy. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks
right,
for
have a great week.
You as
okay.
well. Thanks for Bye. All that you do. We're going to go from Find the Perfect Job up to the mountain to find the perfect fit. Yes. 1340 KVOT, the voice of Towson. Good morning to you. We are back with the coach. So snuggle up, get up, head up, round up, and listen up, because she's got things to tell you. I am flabbergasted. Maybe you've been hearing about it. You sit down for a job interview, you expect the basics. But then hand over your login information to your Facebook. Judy Perkins is joining us. Findtheperfectjob.com. Judy, it's outrageous, but is it legal? Judy Perkins, good morning.
Good morning. It is egregious. It's heinous. And I love the fact that he just walked. But what's really egregious is that there are people who may feel compelled to acquiesce because they're so desperate for a job. And that's the real heinous part of it.
It is the, if you will, if you compare it to real estate, it's a buyer's market, and right now it's an employer's market. I guess, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. As a matter of fact, I have long been saying in the years that I've been a coach, with my whole theme being helping people to take back control of their career, to learn how to stop giving their power away in an interview by simply doing what the companies ask of them, because they have to, because they feel they have to, and the more they do it, the more the companies are able to get away with it. So it becomes a vicious circle. This is a little bit of a something different, because there's not an alternative. It really does back you into a corner.
Well, I mean, again, we're talking about Justin Bassett. It was if you haven't read about it, the Washington Post, and this happened in Seattle. He's actually a New York City statistician, if I have this correct. And he answered the questions, and if this were an isolated case, I guess one might think, geez, what a jerk, I don't want to work for that company. But unfortunately, more and more people are, if you will, coming out of the closet to say, this happened to me too, this is happening to me too. And you're answering the questions, and somebody not only, now look, most people are going to check out your Facebook page. They're going to Google you up if they just do in this day and age. But this is somebody actually asking for your username and password. I don't know. How many people have you heard of that this has happened to?
I have not heard of it happening, but it's only a matter of time before somebody emails me and asks me. And the article said that some companies are saying they're allowing, I like that word, they're allowing the applicant to log into their own Facebook page, and then they'll look at it. Now, I don't think that's acceptable either. Mostly it's been to the state, mostly it's been government companies. And I do see that government historically has required tighter check-ins, if you will. The problem is that what gets condoned by the government eventually filters into the private sector. And any company that wants to implement that can certainly rationalize, to themselves at least, why they should be allowed to do that.
Well, to me, it's akin to opening your, well, it is. It is your mail, and as far as I can tell, that's still a federal offense to demand or to go through someone else's, or to steal someone's mail. Since the rise, this article says, of social networking, it has become common for managers to review, and I just mentioned this, publicly available Facebook profiles, Twitter accounts, and other sites to learn more about you, and yet you're out there. So we've cautioned people in other specials with you about what you put out there. Just make sure you wouldn't mind anybody you're applying for a job for. In fact, you might even be proud to show what's on your Facebook. A lot of people don't, by the way, do that. But this is something different. And we have Los Alamos down the road or up the mm-hmm. road. And I understand when you're going to work for a nuclear lab, you're going to have a much different criteria than someone who's applying for in the general sector. And I don't mean just a government job, a state job, but this is the lab. We expect it. But as you're saying, a government job, if this becomes the norm, one professor is saying, as you just echoed, this is an egregious privacy violation. I wouldn't want to work for a company unless I was going into, like I said, a Secret Service or a national security operation where I would expect something a little more than the normal interview. But again, what's your recommendation here?
Well, my recommendation is whether or not you feel like you can walk to walk. Because, as I've always said, small things telling, if they feel that they can do that, especially when there are other ways of ascertaining that same information, what they're saying is, your boundaries are not important to us. It's no different than a woman who might be dating a misogynist who's emotionally or physically abusive. Boundaries are boundaries, and privacy is privacy. And any more than someone shouldn't tolerate them going into their journal, I think the person should walk. Because this is still, as long as people continue to say, I am not standing for this, it will continue to be viewed as unacceptable, and more entities will move towards making this not allowable. And since it's also somewhat of a minority, it hasn't become widespread, there are other companies that will hire you, that won't require you to do that.
You know, and if you think this is, again, just isolated, I direct you to the Washington Post resume references password. Some employers ask job seekers to share their Facebook logins. And in here it says, until last year, the city of Bozeman, Montana, had a longstanding policy of asking job applicants for passwords to their email addresses, social networking websites, and other online accounts. I don't know why it says until last year. Maybe they changed it. But in 2006, the McLean County, Illinois Sheriff's Office,
right,
one of the several Illinois Sheriff's Departments to ask applicants to sign into social media sites to be screened. And this one really bothers me. In Virginia, where you are required to friend investigators or people on the force. Now, I think that's wildly inappropriate, if not illegal.
Well, what is also frightening is that look at what else it says. It's, first of all, the guy in Illinois, the sheriff in Illinois, says we want to make sure that they're not doing something that could reflect badly on this on us. Now, who defines that? And also, there's another comment. I don't have the article in front of me, but it's an equally nebulous situation. What one company might say is acceptable, another company might dismiss you for. So what we're looking at here is a very small rise to dictate behavior and control individuals. I don't know if you or anybody listening has read the book by Margaret Atwood called The Handmaid's Tale, but it's a very, very frightening book that starts out with individuals. It's a girl who is living in the present, but she starts with a flashback about how the world, the city, the states, the United States used to be like it is to us now, and you could go do what you wanted to do and buy what you wanted to be, and then for the convenience of everybody, which they endorse, you had all your information on a credit card, and it was easy to scan for your health records, and then all of a sudden they started controlling it with the credit card. And pretty soon, you only could do what you could do, whether or not they authorized that card.
And it reminds me of, and not to get too political, and I won't ask you to go there if you're not comfortable, but you know, Rick Santorum, who wants to define for us what pornography is, and then he's going to decide, I guess, single-handedly what's legal and not. We could have a whole discussion about that issue, but the fact that you just said it, who is going to decide appropriateness? And frankly, I think this is getting to be way too big brother. Here's another one, though, and I know some companies here who require, in order to get a job, that you do volunteer work. And if it's a requirement for a job and you need a job, is that coercion?
That is coercion. That is absolutely coercion. And I'm just waiting for someone to tell me that they went on an interview and they had to audition, you know, singing and dancing on the Good Ship Lollipop. I mean, where does it stop? I know what the other thing was. The sheriff, maybe this is the sheriff in Illinois, said, well, most people, no, they haven't had anyone not comply, which, quote-unquote, just goes to show you the caliber of the people that we're hiring. Well, I don't think it goes to show you anything except that maybe those people didn't dare say no.
Right, and that right now people need a job, and it's interesting you equated it with an abusive relationship, because I think it's important, especially at a time when there is a lot of real fear. Based in reality, and there's also just plain fear, you know, going on around with the economy and the way it's been. And I think it is important that you tell people, and you are, Judy, and you do it really well, that you don't have to take that. You know, there's another company that will be better suited for you, because if they're going to treat you like that on the onset, it's probably going to get worse once you're inside.
It absolutely will get worse. The other thing I'd like to ask, you know, rhetorically, especially of that sheriff who says, it just goes to show you the caliber of the people we're hiring. This starts with the government entities. Who is going to say no with this whole Global Patriot Act in about terrorism? If I get asked to give you all that information working for a government entity and I say no, are they going to target me? Are they going to start looking at my email? Are they going to start my phone records? Are they going to think I have bad connections?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I think it's the old adage, never let the head of a camel into your tent, for the body is sure to follow. And
yeah.
And this is, you know, this is what it reminds me of. It's really creepy, and I also think on the other side, and I'm going to say this is where you have to also have some good sense, for crying out loud. We've had a police official in Albuquerque recently, and some others in our up north in Cuesta, who did post improper things, called on his Facebook. I mean, he's a cop, and he calls people trash and disposable trash. Well,
all right.
I mean, if you're going to post that, that's a different story. Then you do become a target. If it's public domain, and that's on your Facebook, And your boss sees it, and you are writing as the you know Albuquerque police person, then you might be facing some problems.
And that's a totally understandable thing. As the article also talks about degenerational policies or something like that, which basically says don't talk bad about your employer all over the place. And one would hope that someone would have the common sense not to do that anyway. I mean, if you're sitting in your living room with a couple of friends, that's one thing. But it's unprofessional to talk bad about your employer, or to be misogynistic or racist, or just, you know, spouting that kind of thing anyway.
Well, I think these are the kinds of conversations in a very polarized, I believe, political climate that we're going to continue to have. And people will start with, and there are some companies that require drug testing. And frankly, in certain jobs, I think it's appropriate. But when people start saying, well, we want to drug test everybody on unemployment, my feeling is, well, let's start at Congress. How about we do it? Because it's very discriminatory, in my opinion, to pick these people out, and they're already down and out without a job. It's like, for crying out loud, if you're going to do that, it's just smacks of Big Brother to me. And I think this could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
I'd like to see it go all the way to the Supreme Court. What is it at the Maryland and one other state are considering, are proposing legislation to make this illegal, and it does say that the Department of Justice considers it a federal offense, but they're not prosecuting it for it right now. But so I think it really goes back, I feel very, very, very strongly it goes back to one small action. Everybody who is asked to do this must say no.
Right, and we're not talking about somebody who's going to open public space, which is, if you know, to look at a public page of yours, but to ask for your password. I agree with this assessment is like asking for someone's keys to their home. It's just not appropriate. So I'm glad you're talking about it. And as a matter of fact, let's direct people to your website and your free newsletter, because you're blogging about it, right?
Yes, the blog post will go up this afternoon.
Okay, and to give everybody your address, please.
www.findtheperfectjob.com. And right across the top, you'll see one of the things that says blog, but you'll also see my newsletter form. So look around, have fun.
I'm going to do it. I am going to do it too. Judy, I really appreciate the time. This is a very, I think, serious situation, and you're not that desperate. Don't sign up for an abusive relationship, not in your home, not in your job. That's my vote. All right, we'll be back with more 1340 KVOT, and don't forget the job coach. Find the perfect job. .com. Spell it out. She's Judy Perkins, and she can help you out. Free newsletter, too. We'll be back after this.